If you have your Bibles, let's turn to Micah and chapter 7. Micah chapter 7, we'll be reading that very last chapter of the book of Micah, the prophet. And that would be verses 1 through 20. Micah chapter 7, 1 through 20. God's people, these are the words of God, starting in verse 1. They are for us, and so let us give our attention to them. Woe is me, for I am like the fruit pickers, like the grape gatherers. There is not a cluster of grapes to eat, or a first ripe fig which I crave. The godly person has perished from the land, and there is no upright person among men. All of them lie in wait for bloodshed. Each of them hunts the other with a net. Concerning evil, both hands do it well. The prince asks also the judge for a bribe, and a great man speaks the desire of his soul. So they weave it together. The best of them is like a briar, the most upright like a thorn hedge. The day when you post your watchmen, your punishment will come, then their confusion will occur. Do not trust in a neighbor. Do not have confidence in a friend from her who lies in your bosom. Guard your lips. For son treats father contemptuously. Daughter rises up against her mother. Daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies are the men of his own household. But as for me, I will watch expectantly for the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. Do not rejoice over me, O my enemy. Though I fall, I will rise. Though I dwell in darkness, the Lord is a light for me. I will bear the indignation of the Lord because I have sinned against him until he pleads my case and executes justice for me. He will bring me out to the light and I will see his righteousness. Then my enemy will see and shame will cover her who said to me, "Where is the Lord your God?" My eyes will look on her. At that time she will be trampled down like mire of the streets. It will be a day for building her walls. On that day will your boundary be extended. It will be a day when they will come to you from Assyria and the cities of Egypt. From Egypt even to the Euphrates. Even from sea to sea and mountain to mountain. And the earth will become desolate because of her inhabitants on account of the fruit of their deeds. Shepherd your people with your scepter, the flock of your possession, which dwells by itself in the woodland, in the midst of a fruitful field. Let them feed in Bashan and Gilead, as in the days of old. As in the days when you came out from the land of Egypt, I will show you miracles. Nations will see and be ashamed of all their might. They will put their hand on their mouth. Their ears will be deaf. They will lick the dust of like a serpent, like reptiles of the earth. They will come trembling out of their fortresses to the Lord our God. They will come in dread, and they will be afraid before you. Who is a God like you? Who pardons iniquity and passes over the rebellious act of the remnant of his possession? He does not retain his anger forever, because he delights in unchanging love. He will again have compassion on us. He will tread our iniquities underfoot. Yes, you will cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. You will give truth to Jacob and unchanging love to Abraham, which you swore to our forefathers from the days of old. And that is God's word. The chapter begins with a sad lament. He says, "Woe is me." He's lamenting because of the increased sin and immorality that took over Israel, which would bring and was bringing destruction for the nation. But what is the one? What is the one who is still righteous, a child of God? What hope do they have? What comforts living in the midst of rebellious Israel? We'll learn more about that in Daniel this morning. But verse 7, hope in God, he says. Keep watch for him and wait to be delivered from what's going on in exile. And pray to the Lord because He will, He says, hear your prayers for His children. Through verse 10, though the righteous one may suffer under these judgments of Israel, the Lord will deliver and raise them back up. The righteous must make the best of the situation they are given and encourage themselves with God's promises and answer, verse 14 and 15, to the prophet's prayers. And in accord with His promises, verse 16 and 17, they must see that their enemies will fall eventually, even though they now might be triumphing over them. And then the remaining verses must be at the right time, triumph in the mercy and grace of God and His faithfulness to His covenant. Thankful we ought to be today for Christ who has won the victory, and we exult in His mercy and His grace toward us sinners. And He at the cross casted it, kind of, we might say this language in verse 19, not literally, but Christ at the cross casted all our sins into the depths of the sea. That is, He rid them from us. Declaratively, He imputed us with His righteousness, or accredited, counted to us His righteousness. And at the cross, He was accounted for our sins. Well, let's pray to God. Our Father, we're thankful in Christ your Son who in a sense, in a way, casted all our sins out, dealt with them perfectly. And Father, we today live amongst an evil, wicked world. A world that is increasingly growing hostile towards us and towards you. And they love wickedness. They love evil. And Father, we are being tempted all the time to succumb to the temptation to be like the world, to join in their evil. And yet, Father, we pray, we ask now that and plead that you would answer our prayers, that you would not lead us into temptation, but to deliver us from evil. That you would grant to us your mercy and your grace, and even by your Spirit, grant to us a praying heart and a life. That we would know that you are, as a God who answers our prayers, is faithful, that you would answer our prayers as you are faithful. And Father, we ask that you would provide for us exactly what we need in this life, and yet cause us to remain constant upon you, and in your word, meditating upon it day and night. Father, we have broken your commandments. In this way, we are just like Israel. We're just like Judah, who turned from you to idolatries and the things of this world, loving the things of this world and not being satisfied with you, but rather satisfied with the other things. Father, we have made and taken your name in vain. We have not lifted your name and exalted your name as we ought to have every day of our lives. We have not kept the Sabbath day holy. Rather, we've gone on and done our own pleasures, and sought to do other things rather than resting in you alone, through your Son and by your Spirit. We have not honored our superiors and inferiors and our peers. We have committed murder and adultery, and we've stolen from you good things, and we've rather spent our time with the things of this world too much. Father, we have lied, gossiped, slandered, and we have coveted those things which are not ours. Father, we have broken all your commandments, and we are guilty of all of them. And therefore, Father, we deserve condemnation forever. And yet, Father, we plead that as you are a merciful and gracious God, that you would show mercy to us, and you would show grace to your people, and you would cause us to believe once again the gospel of Jesus Christ, that he died on the cross for our sins, having lived a perfect righteous life without sin. And having died, he was buried, and on the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. Father, we're thankful for the gospel that we celebrate once again today in your worship, and especially as we partake of the Lord's Supper. And Father, we know as we partake of the supper, as we think and meditate upon your word, that you are the God who forgives us of all our iniquities as we come to you and repent of our sins and turn from them to you. Father, we are convinced of this. We are assured that this is what you do because it's what you say you do. And your word is true. And you do not lie. And so, Father, this we know gives us great comfort as we even continue now in our worship, that you are still with us, you are still showing mercy to us and grace. We pray that you will continue this even to the end of our lives, unto eternity. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.